This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to a very special episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your special boy, the number one fuck 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 boy. All right, all right, all right. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is the nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give a shout out. Nearly silent as always, and also joining me, do you remember these motherfuckers? They used to be around a lot, and now we're hiding from you bitches. Guys, we got Ben, Dr. Runtime Rogers, and Ryan, did you hear I played football, Stanger, hanging out in the fucking High and Mighty studios. We just changed it over from Val Verde.
Yeah.
Switched all the
art. We've been hiding out in Val Verde.
Very happy to be talking to the shitheads again.
Yeah, miss you shitheads. Yeah. It's been a while.
This was these guys' idea to drop one in the High and Mighty feed so you guys can find out what we've been up to behind the paywall.
Yeah, this is a gift to you guys of a show that we've been doing on Patreon called Action Boys.
So if
that was born on High and Mighty, doing such classics. What did we do on High and Mighty?
We did
Predator.
Predator.
We started with Predator.
Commando.
Raw Deal.
Raw Deal. Bloodsport.
Rambo 2.
Die Hard commentary. We did a lot. We've done a lot of movies. And now
Big Trouble in Little China.
And if you're one of the fucking goons that's like, where the fuck did that part of your podcast go? Well, we've been on fucking Patreon for like 6 months now, you fucking chunk.
You goon. Junky assholes.
All right, clean yourself up.
Get your act together and get on Patreon.
Get off the heroin.
Clean.
Once you get off that heroin.
Get off the opiates. Yeah. I know it's a big problem. It's really bad.
Everybody's on opiates.
It's an epidemic.
Jeff Sessions is telling you guys to get off opiates and start listening to Action Boys on Patreon. We got an episode about Roadhouse, one of our favorite movies, and a very exciting episode for us to have done for you guys to listen to, so you can get a taste of the kind of shit we're doing over there now.
All right, we got all the fucking major players on this podcast: Seagal, Arnold, JCVD,
Stallone, Bronson, Mark Singer. All the big boys.
All the big dogs.
Terry O'Quinn.
Snipes. We got Snipes a couple of times.
So we review these classic action
Bridget
movies.
Fonda.
We make fun of them. We make fun of each other. We do bits.
We do voices.
We do voices. We do characters.
You don't even have to watch the movie. We make it.
Autistically go through every piece of the movie. They're
Rogers
like 2 hours
like
long.
Seven notebook who have written like 6-point font, handwritten 50 pages of notes about every movie we talk about. You're going to publish that one day, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the New York Times is.
Oh, yeah. Right. And the shooter had this on.
Real quick, down the line, and then we'll throw to the episode. What do you guys, what's your favorite Action Boys memory?
Oh God, what the fuck?
All right, I will say my personal favorite episode of Action Boys is we did one of my favorite movies and we had a real blast with the main character. I gotta say, the best of the best episode is possibly for me the best of the best of the best
on Patreon. Okay,
on Patreon. Okay, yeah. That was like my big one. Yeah.
What about you, Stanger? So I can fucking try to come up with something I like.
My favorite
Since
is
this was, you know, your idea.
Yes. So I had some chambered that I'm just thinking of right now.
I don't chamber. I like the best of the best. Rogers, on
word for word, Johns. No, we recorded a episode when we first started this thing for Patreon of Terminator 2, and we were so fucking self-conscious and nervous and self-loathing that we didn't think it was good enough for people to pay for.
Yeah.
So then
this
we
was
went,
our first
crime. Our first yeah. So then we went back and fucking re-recorded the same movie
as a commentary
to like punch it up because we're like, we can't fucking deliver this shit. So I thought that was a lesson in all our neuroses.
Right. Yeah.
And our quality control.
Yeah, and the legendary Point Break commentary episode.
Oh,
it's one of my favorite episodes where
if you're a High and Mighty listener, you heard Tammy Sager say, and then there's just like 3 minutes of silence while you guys eat wings.
She listened to it?
Yeah, she listens to
She listens. Oh, God.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. That is horrifying.
That's where we learned to not eat wings during the episodes and to know what's happening in the movie and try to be less surprised by it. That one you can hear us. But as far as more positive things, I think when we were watching 48 Hours and realized that he tries to record himself in a Walkman, and we realize it doesn't work that way. And he
unless it
was a talk boy, and then we started talking about what the actual Talkboy ads were like. And that was a fun rabbit hole.
I don't even
want
to give any more spoilers to that. So if you feel like you missed out on the Action Boys, or, you know, you don't even have to be a fan of action movies to listen to these episodes, but we are at patreon.com/actionboys or actionboys.biz, which takes you right to that same link that I aforementioned that I've already mentioned there.
It's $5 a month, episode every week.
Every Monday, we're giving you hot new content.
We've never missed an episode.
We haven't missed an episode. And to be honest, like, we'll give you the real deal. The reason that we spun off to Patreon was, it was my favorite part of doing High and Mighty was getting together and talking about movies with you guys. But to me, it's unfair because I was getting the credit that it was on High and Mighty. So for us to be like, hey, let's relaunch this as its own thing every week. Is it crazy for me to do a podcast, to do two podcasts? Hell, I'd eventually do three. But at the time, I thought
this
was
a very selfless act by John.
No, what I'm getting
to
at
be honest,
like, and of course,
John did this for us.
We can make a little bit of money.
My life
don't make
isn't
me
going
that.
Well.
No, but it was more about like, we should do this every day, but I shouldn't abuse you. I shouldn't take advantage of you guys.
Yeah. No, Rogers was in the hospital. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on.
I mean, I fucking watch these movies from a fucking halfway house.
Hey, it's going to be three quarters someday. You keep working hard. And we wanted to make a little bit of money doing it so that we feel like we aren't tired of it. We don't hate it.
We don't have to tell them all this stuff.
Well, I'm just interested in full disclosure. So you giving us $5 supports our habit of watching movies and talking to each other about it.
Did this sound like a big can rattle? It was, but here's a free episode.
You're getting a fucking free episode.
And always you can text give to feel like we're on an NPR show. And Radiolab can't do it without you guys.
We got fucking tote bags.
Yeah. For just the cost of a cup of coffee a day.
Yeah, we will give you a thank you letter.
We do.
That's a sincere thank you letter.
It's coming for 3 years.
We do have Action Boys merch too at shirts.actionboys.biz. If you don't want to buy, if you don't want to listen to the podcast, but you do want inside joke shirts, because you're a fucking lunatic, go right ahead. Anything else we got to say to these people?
No, man. Enjoy Roadhouse.
Wait, what's that? You see something in the distance over there? There's like a red laser kind of dot on.
Oh, yeah. Is that like,
what is
that? A laser pointer or something?
Does it look cool on me?
There's one on you too.
Oh, yeah. You got one in you too.
Do I?
John, you got one. Yeah.
You got a bunch around your chest.
You got a bun, yeah.
That's not. We had.
All right, let's do this. You ready?
Hold on. I got a call. Let me just take this.
Well, right, then let's not record.
All right.
No. What? In the building by themselves?
It doesn't sound like a real call.
We gotta go.
Guys, I thought you were answering your calls.
Oh, no, I decided to bail on this bit as soon as I heard you. As soon as I heard your side of the phone call.
I
thought it would be better to just bully you about
that. Yeah, you really hung your ass out there, and I didn't want to do that.
Stanger was actually doing something on his phone.
Yeah,
I kind of not even checked in.
Yeah.
It was your idea. It was your fucking idea, and then you leave me to hang
Hold
like
on,
that.
I'm getting a phone call.
Welcome to the Action Boys.
We need overhead. We need air support.
We need overhead.
We need more overhead.
We need more overhead.
I need more room in my overhead. Frame me up.
I need one of those. I need a sprint van, like those Mercedes sprint vans.
I need a turtle top. Yeah. Go on vacation. here we are, guys, back in Valverde, talking about a little film we call, well, we call it Roadhouse. A lot of people also call it that.
I think this is the whitest movie we'll ever do on this podcast.
Whitest?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's fucking white.
Dude, it's shit. Crazy that the guy who he squares off at the end is like the closest thing to a, and he's like,
well, they
Italian.
Have David Keith in this movie, and he fucking,
and he only has one line.
Yeah, they like edited his part out, but, and then there's the black dude that he throws the keys to, who has like a fucking crazy ass voice.
Yeah,
like, what I look like, valet?
And he's like, keep it. He's like, all right.
And so for a long time, like 2/3 of the movie, that's it.
That's it.
And then they get a big bar, like a pretty good action movie actor, David Keith from the fucking Thing and They Live, to be the bartender. You're like, I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, for him. I can't wait. He's going to pay this off. Yeah.
And like, no, he's like not even in focus most of the
no,
movie.
No, he pulls right. up, pours he him just, a cup of coffee. Yeah. And then,
Leaded or unleaded.
Yeah.
Leaded.
Yeah, cool. Real, it's a real red herring.
This movie fucking rules.
I forgot how true, like, I've seen it a bunch. I haven't seen it in a little bit. I forgot how truly cool the fights are. It's like a, it's like a fucking cartoon. I can't even explain.
Anybody who used to, it's I think it, like, it's very cartoonish. Even the sounds. Like, do you guys notice the like Foley artist work in this? Is like, it's insane. All the punches land like a little too high, and then the music's too dramatic for the scene.
It's very sloppy. It's like in a fun way. It's I think it's like two separate movies. There's like the kind of honky tonk bouncer outsider drifter, and then once Sam Elliott dies, it turns into like a straight ahead action movie, and even the score changes.
Yeah,
they don't do like this guitar anymore. It goes into like a traditional
more Jeff Healey band.
No,
it's also insane that he kills the dude before fucking Wade dies. Before he kills a guy before they kill his buddy. So the other guys are doing the revenge.
Yeah.
Like, they're the ones kind of more in the right, even.
See, that's interesting.
I had a buddy who, I don't know if he was blowing smoke up my ass, but he was blowing something up my ass, and it felt good.
I don't know what it was, but it was a straw full of some substance, and I came hard.
He programmed for either TNN or Spike, or like the channel over one of those incarnations, and Roadhouse was one of their few movies that they had, and he said the ratings fucking skyrocketed every time they put on Roadhouse. It became their ultimate filler. And I think this movie was on TV just about 48 hours, every weekend nonstop.
That's where I saw it, like five. And my dad, of course, loved it. And like, because it was like a calm, cool hero who was like, believed in like one certain way of dealing with a crime, you know, with dealing with problems.
I had anxiety watching this because it made me think of the amount of times I watched this after school when I should have been doing my homework. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm watching this shit.
How many tests you blew out? All that
stressed
shit,
about high school.
This movie dropped my GPA.
I mean, the story you alluded to with the friend, like it makes sense, because why else would they show it so much? I mean, they either had it for a bargain, but like, it was on objectively, it was on all the time. And so if they did see a legit rating spike, it would warrant that, right?
This movie also, we talk about a lot of people like wanting to fuck the hero. I think this whole town wants to fuck Patrick Swayze. Oh,
yeah. Guys, too.
I think everybody.
Every character. Stanger protocol.
Yes, activate Stanger.
Operation Stanger protocol.
Not as many.
We just put out two gluten-free crackers and Stanger appears.
That's some fucking Joe Rogan focus pills.
They're nootropics. On it.
Yeah. Try them out, bro.
Yeah. Get yourself a gorilla kettlebell and some nootropics on it. Okay, so the cold open is him at another bar, right?
Yes.
Or it's not even a cold open.
Slick bar. I think that's supposed to be in New York.
Right.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay, he's just still got his car and plates from like when he was in NYU.
Yeah, he went to NYU. NYU majoring in philosophy.
He's the fucking least New York guy of all time.
Yeah. It's weirdly like this second like New York thing too, because in Dirty Dancing, he's supposed to be like up from upstate New York.
Yeah,
like, he's on the Catskills.
Yeah,
he's just like, he could not be more country.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. This movie is, I mean, we'll get to it, but this movie is so country.
Yeah.
It's so country. Like, you're halfway through the movie, you're like, oh, right, this is all at one place in Kansas City.
This is just a certain segment of the 80s distilled to its max. It came out in 1989, and it's fucking, it's like all the Dukes of Hazzard, Dallas.
Yeah.
Like that whole era of 80s entertainment of like Southern.
Jerry the King Lawler. Like, seriously, the bad guy in this movie is Jerry the King Lawler.
Terry Funk is in the fucking movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there are actual wrestlers in it.
Right. So, but it's not like there's a monster truck in it.
which is actually Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chekhov's monster truck.
I know. When they're just sitting in it, like on a stakeout. They're like supposed to be inconspicuous. They're like, there he is. They're in a fucking 20-foot high truck just watching the bar from
all
a
right,
distance.
Activate Stanger protocol.
So,
we're in another bar.
We're in another bar. We see that this bar is in a high state of success, right? Going well, nice clientele. We get introduced to the
creep owner of the
creep owner
deuce,
of the Double Deuce,
who is Kevin made Keeger. To be a bad guy, and you keep expecting. I don't know about you guys. The first time I saw this, I was like, "Oh, he's the bad guy." He's
watching it this time. I was like, "I don't remember him being a bad guy," but right in the first scene, I'm like,
"Yeah,
oh, does he make a turn for a?" I didn't remember.
Yeah,
it
he
happening.
Keeps like shifting his eyes around. Yeah. He's got a bolo tie and like
fucking a weird dude,
a double breasted suit on with a bolo tie. He's shifting around. He walks in the bar. And he's like eyeballing like all the money that they're making.
He's
and stuff.
Eyeballing titties and money.
Yeah, titties and money. It's like, okay. Young
should we change the name of Action Boys to Titties and Money, by the way?
God, I went out to a bar and I was talking to two girls that were like, what have you been up to these days? And I just come from recording our last episode, and I was like, I'm recording a podcast with my buddies, and they're like, and I was hoping to kind of like change the subject. And she's like, what's it called? And I was like, called Action Boys.
With a Z.
It's like we talk about action movies and stuff.
I know. It's like when you
see.
You're like in week 8 of what was a bit. Like, oh, what a bit name. That's funny. And now we're like asking people to pay money to listen to it.
I could see these like, girls just like fucking dry up.
Yeah. I could see it. Because, you know, I had my shoe camera on. My shoe mirror that I put on my
toes. That's actually smart. Those are smart.
Those are really smart.
Because you can look at like crotches you're not supposed to, and it's like a smart thing. Nobody's hurt. Everybody wins.
It's a very smart.
It's very smart.
Yeah, you'll never get caught.
You never get caught. And if you do,
if you
it's
get
not
caught,
like it's
no one will care.
Yeah.
No one will publicly shame you.
So. It's weird when you tell people about this and then you have to like rail through the movies and it's like Invasion USA, Out for Justice and shit.
They're like, which one is that? And you're like, don't worry about
it. I'm like,
just give me $5 a month, baby.
That girl I blew it with, I was telling you guys before, I was like, I can't, I'm talking about Out for Justice with my buddies. I can't go out. I'm sorry.
Can't hang out with you, beautiful young woman, because I am talking about Out for Justice. I have to watch Out for Justice again and then talk to my boys about it.
And hope I do a good job talking about it.
I will overanalyze how I talked about Out for Justice with my friends.
Well, until 1 in the morning.
I will labor over how well I did.
So we see. He finds fucking Dalton and it's like, I run a place called the Double Deuce. Used to be a sweet deal. Now it's the kind of place where they sweep up the eyeballs at the end of the night.
The script is
fucking great.
It's everything is hyperbolic.
Everything
like, from the get-go.
It pops.
Everything is, and it's fucking, this movie, what's the
And they're also talking in some weird side office, because then there's this weird scene where, like, his boss comes in and he's like stitching himself up because he gets fucking stabbed. There's like a knife fight.
The guy, you get to witness like what's great about Dalton.
Yeah.
He tries to handle it the right way, tries to be cool and calm. It keeps escalating.
gets stabbed, and then he finally goes
and all the and his like team of like well-oiled bouncers come out, and they all look like male strippers.
Yeah,
it's
like total. Like, they all it looks like Thunder from Down Under. Yeah, that one frame when they're all standing like, their arms folded.
Brian Bosworth.
And then they're all like they just missed the cut for American Gladiators, and then they sent him over to fucking Roadhouse to shoot a scene.
And it's just a lot. Like Swayze's got to have his shirt off for 75% of this movie,
you
right?
You gotta get chicks
or
in the
he's
scene.
Got that fucking weird gi shirt on.
Yeah, we'll get to all that. 70-80% the shirt's off. You know, when I watched this as a kid, I thought, like, he's so fucking jacked in this.
Yeah, small and then, dude.
When you watch it now, he's in good shape.
Yeah, he made me feel better about my body shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like 5'6", right?
Like,
yeah.
He's like 5'4", like 109 pounds, probably. Yeah.
So he's sewing himself up, and like, and this guy offers him, like, not a lot of money. It's like $500.
No, that's what Swayze wants.
Yeah.
$5,000 up front, $500 a night.
For like a little bit of work.
I guess
that's pretty good. Cash and plus medical expenses.
Yeah.
And then
the guy says, you got it or done. And like fucking Swayze's eyes light up.
And I put it in like, it's not a lot of money considering what we know will happen. And like, this seems to be the regular part of the job.
It just seems crazy that Patrick Swayze is not like, alarms aren't going off that this guy needs, but this is establishing a logic or a,
that you cannot look too deeply into because there is no, it makes no fucking sense. Don't make a lick of sense.
I disagree.
In reality, in the reality of this movie, some people like this is like the eighth bar that Dalton has come to and turned around, right? Yeah. Is that like what we're supposed to assume? Yeah.
Because he has a reputation of being the best cooler in the business, and people like in bars in a whole other town know and have heard of him.
In this world,
waitresses,
nation known bouncers. It's fucking crazy. So then Dalton's boss comes in and is like fucking kind of gives him like a hard time, and he's like, I don't work here no more. And then his new boss leaves and goes, hey, I thought you'd be a little bigger. And it's like, if I was the old boss, I'd be like, did he just suck your dick? What the fuck is going on?
If I'm the old boss, I'm like, Dalton, you're all this like loyalty type guy, and you fucking walk when someone offers you $500.
Yeah, but also like Rogers is right. Like, I thought you'd be a little bigger. Like after they left, like he'd like call in like somebody he talks with at work there, and he'd be like, hey, fucking Dalton just had some silver-haired guy blow him. I thought his dick would be bigger.
$500 so a blowjob. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. He smiles during it. That's
smiles
what makes it weird.
Real weird.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not going to... Hey, Chip, get in. You're not going to fucking believe this. Fucking Dalton just had some...
I caught Dalton getting his fucking rocks off with some fucking old-timer.
Some silver-haired fucking guy with a bolo tie and a double-breasted suit just fucking sucking Dalton's dick. Thought he had a bigger dick than he fucking showed up.
In the lore of this movie, it's like, you guys know the manager from the Double Deuce? Yeah, he was holy in shit, here Dalton. Sucking Dalton's dick. And that just like passes through the scumbag bar fucking grapevine.
The circuit.
The fucking Dust Bowl bar scene. Like, why is the Double Deuce, when was it ever classy? It's in the middle of like, the fucking nowhere.
It's like, move the fucking bar. Move out of there.
Was the Double Deuce in the Steinbeck novel Grapes of Wrath?
Yeah.
I think it was.
It like really does look like the area around the Double Deuce is like, this is a fucking ghost town. They just tore down the fucking Wild West set that was there.
Yeah. So he pulls out his fucking Benz with the New York plates.
Yeah.
Gives away his old car to the only black guy in the first and second act.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, I look like Valley.
Insane.
Yeah.
Drink
the skies are blue. You're like, whoa.
It's like,
there you go, Louis Armstrong.
It's like the racist Disney song with the blue birds or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Song of the South.
Yeah. So also in this reality, Patrick Swayze, Dalton keeps a Benz in the garage and drives a beater because we learn.
Oh, it's going to get fucked up.
Gonna get fucked up. So he heads to the Double Deuce, and the next scene is
where Terry Funk is like the head bouncer.
Great fucking head of hair on him, Terry. I really? Got him.
Wait, which guy are you thinking of?
Terry Funk, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With Terry, a curly like mullet.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
yeah.
like super tight
it's
mullet.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It looks like he always has blood in his hair.
It looks like the dude. Remember that dude Jake something who did like all the
Body by Jake?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, the Buttissimo. Yeah, yeah. Trying to train those Abba Dabbas. That guy had a fucking sitcom for a while.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's who I truly thought that was at first, and I was like,
hey, try to train those Abba.
And then they've got like the sleazeball bartender who's a fucking great, one of the great sleazeballs
yeah, in John
cinematic
Doe
history.
From,
yeah,
John Doe.
The band X.
Yeah.
Oh,
like a famous
right,
like
right.
LA band X. Yeah. And he's great. He's fucking
And then
great
we got it. The fucking like kind of Jack dude who just wants to fuck.
Yeah. Great. That character.
Steve
is
or something. Stevie. Yeah.
Who's fucking underage girl. He's statutory yeah, he raping has. Girls at his place of work.
And, oh, yeah. His first line is like, I get off around 2 and I'd love to get you off about a half an hour after that.
It's such a cool line. Yeah. And then the other dude is a bouncing fan, like a fan of bouncers who happens to be a bouncer, you know, because he's like the one who has no eyebrows, the weird fucking.
Oh, yeah.
And he is like, but he's like, that's Dalton. I heard that he did. Like, he's the one who's like most. He's like the dude.
And
who's
then we
on
got
Harold T.
Gabrus's character, the fat bouncer.
Oh, I thought I'm either the fat bouncer or the suspenders bad guy.
Okay. No, yeah, I think you're no. too big to be the suspenders bad guy.
Yeah,
he's kind of
like
tiny.
5 foot one.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's pretty small.
Yeah. And you would fit in. You're a good guy. He
yeah, the,
ba-
the bouncer, the guy who looks like me, reminds me of the big fat comedian from Herman's Head.
You also reminds like, you, me did of you like this movie? Because there were multiple fat guys. No fat women.
No fat women. I was going to say, like, at some point in this episode, I was going to say, like, this is the first movie where, like, who could I play? And it's 60% of the characters. Like, I could play any one of the bad guys' toughs, any one of the good guys' toughs, or a scumbag at the bar.
Or the
I could also be a fucking lunatic in the band.
Yeah, maybe the doctor love interest. Terry Funk has blood in his hair like he's always just been born.
He's got yeah. fresh placenta on his head at any
There's
given
that
moment.
Scene where the guy's like, he has that lame line that's like, hey, Vakken rocks, how about we go nipple to nipple? It's awful, like, hot. And then Terry Funk just goes crazy on
just
that
just turns
dude.
And punches.
Yeah, well, and what does she say to him? Like, I don't need you for that, or I can do that on my own?
I can
or
do that
yeah,
on some it, kind of reference
I can do
to
that
her
on my own.
So
yes.
big she can, like, touch them together is my guess.
Yeah, it's all, like, the double deuce is only, like, the, like, trashy, hot 80s bimbo types, and then the sleaziest, like,
I don't understand why
rednecks.
These women go to that bar.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why those women go to a place like that, that is got 15 bouncers, a cage around the performing area.
You just want to, like, tell them that, like, they're
like
better
the only
than that.
Music. Yeah.
Yeah. John, don't you just want to, like, rescue them and just, like, tell them they're so
I'm
much
like,
better?
Come with
than-
me. Come to my.
I also do like this era of, like, and maybe just because the age I watched all this stuff, it is permanently, like, made me kind of like trashy hairspray. Like,
yeah, I like. I'm horny for high waisted acid watch jeans for sure.
That, yeah, and just this whole aesthetic, like, yeah. just this whole kind of 80s aesthetic. Like, I like it. Like, I settle right into it.
And this place is a shithole. And Dalton's just scoping it out. So we're seeing like a lot of the hot girls. People dealing drugs. It's a reverse of the last shot of like the
right. Yeah. Yeah. So we see like the end result of what he can do, and then we see it at the beginning before it's been sculpted by him.
Right.
But I noticed early on in the movie, there's tons of weird, really wide shots.
Yes.
With their cameras way back, and like you're really, it's like clearly like a set.
Yeah.
And
it's like almost, a Mad Magazine frame where there's just a lot just of like hijinks going on.
Yeah, and you're
on.
Like, oh, what's happening in the upper left hand corner? Yeah.
Right. And it's like this total like stuntman's movie where there's like once a barroom ball breaks out, like everybody's like getting flipped over chairs and girls are getting
punched.
Yeah,
it's got an old fashioned like Western vibe to it.
Yeah, like fight breaks out is like a saloon fight but like sliding across the bars, women throwing, and dinking people in the head with bottles, which would have been the fucking prostitutes in the
almost it doesn't happen, but like you'd almost expect a guy to like catch a beer and drink it and get punched or something.
Well, we kind of have that one dude who's loving it, and then he finally gets a beer in his face.
Yeah, they cut to him like six too many times. Yeah. It keeps building,
and the girl
him,
like feels bad about knocking him out, even though you kind of hate him.
Oh, holy shit! It is like in the Western, they would always have the person still playing the piano, and they have the Jeff Healey band. The blind dude is just still jamming,
and we got the good joke with the for a good fuck call. And he changes it to Buick for something like
that was really
that's real.
That
fucking,
made me laugh for real.
He's
I was
real
like,
proud
I forgot
of himself
about
for
that.
It.
Yeah.
is like, but I also, a lot of it like feels like a stage play to me, especially in the first like half of the movie. Like the way they like deliver their dialogue and like the way it's like all like on this one big stage. I was like, I can see this
something
as, like,
about Swayze that he has the presence of someone always giving a monologue, like always under a spotlight. That's like talking.
He's always in the middle of a circle talking and like pacing, right?
This is his, I would say, for me, top three Swayze roles are Point Break, Roadhouse, and then Ghost. Red Dawn.
Oh, Red Dawn.
Don't cry.
Yeah.
Use Avenge me.
Okay, what about you, John? Top three.
Fuck, it's hard because Ghost is so good, but he's not the highlight of Ghost. Whoopi is.
Yeah, it's Whoopi's movie.
It's Whoopi's movie. Patrick's just along for the ride, baby. Yeah.
Definitely didn't deserve the Oscar for that.
No.
For Ghost? Whoopi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine performance in a like a nice whimsical movie, but Lorraine Bracco was up against her for Goodfellas and 100%
that's should have won. Definitely. Yeah, in retrospect, Karen. The Oscars are bullshit. Yeah.
Karen, what do you mean? Flushed it.
So top three, Swayze.
It goes Point Break, Roadhouse, Ghost. Sorry, Red Dawn.
For me, I gotta go Point Break, Roadhouse, Dirty Dancing.
Fuck
it's,
yeah.
He's fucking great in it.
Dirty Dancing is good. And then what's the one where he did with it's like blood family
In the car chase?
Yes.
Like the next truck
of kin? Next of kin. Yes. Yeah. Next of kin.
Yeah.
Next of kin.
Some fun ones.
There. Yeah.
He never really quite got his due in action. I would have liked to have seen him.
He was too pretty to be an action star. And I think that screwed him. But like, there's something so magnetic about him that like you almost overlook it. I think if they ever like figure out how to do Total Recall, like simulation, like vacations, I think Roadhouse is going to be one. It's the ultimate male fantasy where you're this like beautiful in shape dude who can kick everybody's ass in town. You end up fucking this super hot doctor.
You can keep going. And then, don't get distracted. You got this.
And then, like you like kill some dude in the river, and like then you fuck in that same river.
You fuck in the blood of the guy who died before.
You're right.
You're like the ultimate tough guy. You can do anything, and you're like living this dream reality.
So yeah, totally.
In a small town where everyone fucking loves you,
yeah,
and the only bad people the there, bad you guy's kill them
wife
all.
Wants to fuck yeah. you. The fucking doctor so we, wants to fuck the only person with like a 12th grade reading level in the town wants to fuck you.
So we can like we can lay some of that stuff out and keep the plot moving because sure. So all he does is just watch that night, witnesses how shitty things are there.
Oh, and the fight, we should talk about how that fight breaks out because it's kind of funny because there's this like insane dude who's like. For $20, you can kiss my wife's tits.
Oh yeah,
and then he's like squeezing.
And these two
them.
Guys are like, "Holy shit, yeah!" And he squeezes him, doesn't kiss him. He's like, "Are you gonna kiss him or what?" He's like, "I would. I don't have $20."
Yeah,
and then the fight breaks out.
Yeah, it's so weird, but it really reminded me of like. Being like a kid of like what you would imagine like oh man I wish I could just hold a boob for like 10
seconds. Oh god, it would rule.
It makes no
like even watching now I'm
why
like,
does that guy want
the- now I'm like god damn it, I wish he had $20.
But like that guy was he really wanted to make $20? Did he want to degrade the dude? Did he want to degrade his wife?
What the
it
fuck
all
was
worked.
That dude
no, I think
into.
He just wanted the $20.
Oh, I think he was like getting off on it and like then he got cock blocked hard by him not having the $20.
I think he wanted
he needs 20 to come.
I'm with Gabrus on this one.
Cash payment to
and,
like,
and I think particularly he wanted two tens.
Yeah, one for the beginning and one for the end. What does that mean? Go, I'm just fuck.
So he gets the shitty V8 like souped up car from one of the five other local businesses, the car dealer,
which we'll learn will all not last.
right, and that fucking car dealer has the whitest teeth. Like he's really
he's
like,
got like. bleached blonde hair. He's a weird looking motherfucker.
He's
a weird,
yeah, they very like, he's casting like LA casting, you know, for sure. I mean, yeah, like they found like the perfect used car salesman.
Yeah, he's like, I've been a used car salesman for 20 years. They're like, perfect, you're ready to play one in a movie.
Then he gets then he goes to the second business in town, the local farm. And we're like this insane tires. Farmer, like, oh yeah, he gets tires. This insane farmer like rents his room, which is nicer than my apartment.
The room is incredible.
This is peak. You know, I love seeing where our badass protagonist lives.
Yeah,
this is peak. Like,
yeah, can we talk about that for a second? Because I want to live in all these guys' places. Yeah. And I've lived in my place for 5 years. They're all have more furniture, more shit for these guys whose lives are disastrous.
Yeah, they're supposed to be barely on the edge of society. Yeah, their apartments are more.
They're all
apartments than yours is.
Yeah, they're all broken men. And like you got your shit together, and your place sucks. Dick, I mean, dude,
like I barely like have my shit together. Dick,
Roger. All you have is that fucking the one harness over your bed. And
gamers used to make fun of me that like my house was like apocalypse. Now, yeah,
that, like, it's constantly just lit like with a fan a going in front of the
fan going and it's sweaty.
We're like, he just cuts his hand and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Gabrus just pictures me in my apartment just listening to the doors,
yeah,
like sweating and crying,
punching a heavy bag a couple of times, and then laying down on top of your covers completely naked and drinking out of a Jack bottle.
I watched a couple seasons of Homeland.
Artie's got a squeaky toy. That's great.
And like, there's that one guy who's like, they learn he's a fucking worse for the CIA or some shit. When they go to his apartment, there's just like a rolled
there's
up.
There's a sleeping bag.
Yeah, there's a sleeping bag in the corner. And at the time, I was just sleeping on an air mattress. I was like, I gotta go to fucking IKEA or some shit.
They're like, this guy is clearly a killer. Yeah. He lives like this, and you're just like, oh shit.
God, that's my fucking life.
So, it's like the only difference for your place, you had like a big 14-inch dildo, right?
burned you, dude. The farmer that Dalton rents from is so funny. He is six jokes per minute. Whether they land or not is up to you.
Yeah, they give him so many weird country bumpkin jokes of like calling me sirs, like putting elevator in an outhouse.
Yeah, does a hobby horse have a wooden prick? Some shit like that.
That actor's name is Sunshine.
Yeah.
How old do you think that guy's probably like 50 when that shot? Like, he's one of those actors that's just looked old forever.
Yeah, he was 50 from 30 to 80.
Yeah. Brunette Santa Claus.
Yeah. Also, he seems to really lust and be in love with Swayze, right? Dude,
that shot. I mean, well, let's skip ahead to it. Him doing Tai Chi when both Ben Gazzara and the fucking farmer
and
are
Sunshine.
Both watching him on both sides of the lake is fucking crazy.
Yeah, and they just like kind of like they're It's so long, and you could tell that they're just shaking their heads like, "What is this guy doing?" But it looks like fuck.
God, I can't believe I feel this way.
I think it's supposed to be like, "What is this Fruit Loop up to?" Yes. But in reality, it just looks like, "Oh fuck,
look God at the damn it, he's
striations."
Yes.
So we also get, this is when Ben Gazzara, his character Brad Wesley, fucking zooms in his helicopter and annoys the farmer. Scares the horses.
He's been doing this to me because it's like, what is he doing? He buzzes your house in a chopper. he has like complete ownership over the town.
And we set up that he's like the small town villain. He owns the town. And he's
extorts
like
extorts everybody.
Yeah. A weird casting choice. I love him. He's fucking great in so many movies. He did all of Cassavetes movies.
Yeah.
Of course, Big Lebowski, Buffalo 66.
Right.
Had a great fucking career. But it's also like, we're going to put the one Jew in this movie as the fucking
landowner.
That's like money obsessed
owner of this town. It's like, okay. All right. Weird fucking choice.
He's the most ethnic person in this whole
town. He's fucking a New York actor. And like, they kind of try to give him a backstory of like,
he's from Chicago.
Yeah, he's from Chicago. And I went to Korea. I'm just like you, Dalton. But, like, it doesn't really work. And he's fucking funny in this movie.
He's a fucking treat.
He's having a blast.
Yeah,
he's got a twinkle.
for sure in his eyes.
He's having a fucking ride, man. I'm jealous of that role. Like, it's really funny.
I love that. Oh God, that would be the role I would want to play, is the fucking bad guy in this.
I want to play Wade Garrett.
Oh yeah, Wade.
We'll get to that.
Wade is the one I'm most spiritually close to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The drifter who tries to fuck that dude's girlfriend.
Unabashed.
So the drifter who openly tries to steal his best friend's girl.
Wait, I haven't tried to do that.
Not yet. The night's a puppy.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get you. I've been trying to pay you to fuck my wife for a year.
Yeah. How much? How much?
Nah, don't worry about it. I can't say that number on air. It's $60. Come on, $60. Fuck my wife.
Yeah. Just bumped it up. It was 50 for the last 5 years. Yeah.
All right, give me the 60 and fuck her. So I ain't got $60.
This is the big speech. This is like when we get the big speech.
So this is when he heads back to the bar.
He gathers them all around.
He looks insane. He's got high-waisted pants on that, like, he and Jean-Claude Van Damme both do the, like, I guess, kickboxing pants.
I guess. I don't know.
And then tuck the blouse in.
I don't know when that stuff was in, though. Yeah. Like, that was like, they were kind of on another frequency.
Yeah, they were like dressing in the late 80s, like Europe in the early 80s, right? Like, the tucked in loosey goosey shirts.
Those two guys in particular.
Huge fucking.
They're both dancers.
He's got a huge jacket on, giant blazer that, like, goes down to his knees. And then,
it looks like one of the, like, you know, those chicks that played the guitar in like the Robert Palmer videos, like that size of sports. Like, just giant, like, shoulder pad, weird art.
Yeah, he's dressed like a fucking Mandy mannequin.
Yeah, I mean, if you stuffed it
way.
Women's
power suit on.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. It's fucking talking heads.
Right. That is what it is. He has a talking heads-esque. He's new wave.
Yeah.
New wave in fucking Kansas.
I mean, hey, I'm not complaining. I think I fucking wish I could pull off wearing just a gi, which is one of his main shirts that he wore. He wears a tucked-in gi through a lot
of
it.
He has constantly evolving necklines on all his shirts. Like, sometimes it's a traditional crew. Sometimes it creeps up into a mock. And then it finally, like, devolves into, like, this just a
scoop neck.
And then a gi tucked into his pants. But anyway, so he's got like the giant sport coat thing.
He gives the fucking bar. They lay down the law. It's my fucking bar now. These are my rules, and it's basically just like,
Terry Funk, you've been fired. You don't have the attitude for this job. The bartender has been
dealing drugs that we never see.
Well, he doesn't get rid of the bartender.
Yeah, the bartender. He hasn't caught the bartender.
He loses Funk, and he loses the blonde waitress that was selling
dealing
drugs.
Coke.
Yeah, he says anyone else, right? They all go, no, we'll follow your rules, Dalton. Total fucking weirdo.
New weirdo.
Right.
Nationally known bouncer.
Yeah. It's really funny, too, that the cooler doesn't bring his own team of guys. Like, it's like, I'll take whatever yokels you have at your bar and teach them my methods. Like, he's like completely confident that this group of fucking sickos has his back. He doesn't know them at all.
That's like the most ultimate. That's like being able to build like improvised explosive devices and stuff and all that. It's just like, you've got to
land in the town and you fucking live off the land.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of his philosophy, man. He's a philosophy major.
Yeah.
He must have bank though. If he's getting $500 a night and he's paying $100 a month rent or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He fucking bilked that old guy, dude. He really gouged the elderly. And
the old guy didn't want to charge him. He was like, the church is making me charge you. Cause
they don't want to think I'm gay.
The church thinks I'm just getting off on renting this thing.
The church caught me jerking off to your tie. The church thinks I've been jerking off to your tie chi.
Yeah. Church come poking around here, see a pretty little thing like you in there, and they know that I'm
$100 okay. I can lower it if it isn't.
Yeah, there's no way the church not going to think I'm kicking it to that sweet little ass of yours.
I heard you fucking last night. Sounded pretty powerful stuff up there.
Deep thrusts. Gotta love it. I'm glad you found a song to fuck to, son. Right? Wasn't that the big thing about this one?
You found some good classic R&B, that's good fucking music.
And just a quick heads up, if you're thinking of fucking on the roof, I'd be careful. There's a couple of real angry raccoons that live up there. You didn't fuck on the roof, did you? So his spiel, what's his three things? Always have my back, something else, and be nice.
It's like all be nice is like the big thing.
Be nice.
Be yeah. nice.
I can't, yeah. There are, it's not that great, really.
Yeah, it's not that good.
But, I mean, be nice is cool because yeah. that makes, you can de-escalate things. I mean,
right. things outside is one of them.
Oh, take yeah. it outside, yes. Always have my back. Always have each other's back.
As a kid, yeah, sorry.
Sorry, yeah, no.
Just, as a kid, I would always like really lean into it. I'm like, oh man, I'm really learning something here. This is something I can grab onto.
He's got that presence, man. You pay attention.
It's magnetic, it's enigmatic.
Yeah. He's fucking, and he's kind of weird looking in a good way. You know what I mean?
Like, his voice like he's fucking lying. Weird as hell because it's like, it's very hard to do because it's both like high, but shouting with also like a cigarette. Burn on it.
Yeah, you can really hear the cigarette in this one. Like, he laughs a few times. And he's smoking all the fucking time.
He's smoking a lot
He must have wanted to, right? Like, he's smoking a lot.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
It doesn't
like,
fit in with the character.
No, it makes no sense that he smokes.
It's like a fucking... It's like drink. Dice. It's like Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah. I mean, how much he's smoking.
Yeah, he's draining
This is the, like the first
he's
time
the
I really noticed
smoking.
It.
Yeah.
When he's given the rules, I'm like, they cut to him and like he blows a huge fucking ring of smoke out of his mouth. And it's like, whoa. That's
No, it's like the second he wakes up, it's like, I mean, he's dealing with a full-scale addiction.
Right.
Yeah. And he makes Tai Chi. And he's like super into like, he just drinks coffee at the bar.
Right.
And then he just smokes cigarettes the whole rest of the time.
No, he likes nature.
Like,
he doesn't mind the smell of nature.
Did he drink when he goes out and parties with, did he have beers when he parties with Wade and the girl?
Yeah,
because I was trying to, I was like, shit, he doesn't drink at all, weird. But he does have a couple of drinks with Wade.
Does have a couple of drinks.
So now we see the fucking, the like shit in action, right? This is like where, like,
yeah, so they did like knife. A test run,
right?
Yeah.
Go be nice, like, because the guy wants his wife to dance on the table,
yeah,
yeah.
No, come on, pal, let it
Everybody's
dance.
Got like some weird, like, fucking cuck fantasy in it where it's like,
this is, yeah, the double deuce is a cuck.
The double deuce is a cuck bar,
the double deuce is a cuck bar.
That just want other dudes to get off,
grab a tits, put her on the table.
You fucking humiliate me.
I wish I were. I so wish I were a real place.
Oh, and he fucks. He fires Steve, whatever that dude's name, because he's fucking
Steve's
a 15-year-old girl.
Steve's fucking, and sure, her fucking expression when they get caught is so fucking funny.
It's cute. Yeah, she's like, ooh, yikes. She has a yikes face.
I wish that he would go.
Steve's on his break. Man, Steve got the fucking raw deal.
He was great when he said, but I'm on my break. I wish when the second Dalton closed the door, he just went back to fucking her.
Yes.
It's also funny because he's completely nude and she's partially clothed. Right. It's like, he's like fucking naked as a J.
In the fridge, right?
In the walk-in. Yeah. And she's like partially clothed female, fully clothed male.
And then CFNM?
Yeah.
clothed female, naked male?
Yeah, whatever.
This is one of the many dudes that, like, does not look tough at all that wants to kick Dalton's ass. Like, the two dudes at his original bar were like, all right, I'm finally going to give you a try, Dalton. I'm going to take you out.
And he's like, he looks like a fucking eight. He looks like Arliss.
Yeah.
And it's Robert Wool.
Yeah. All the guys who try to star with them look like sports agents from an 80s movie.
Yeah, they look like the dudes from fucking Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes. They have like the magenta t-shirt with like a cuffed up. Yes. That's the look I'm going for. When I said Arliss is what I meant is Jonathan Silverman and the other dude from fucking.
Yeah, they're like, they're 36 playing 20 or something.
Yes. What was that movie with John Travolta where they get mixed up as like KGB spies?
Oh, yeah. And Kelly Preston's in it. Yeah. And they go to like a small town.
And they're like fucking musicians or some shit.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Then he puts, this dude pulls out a fucking knife and he puts this guy's head through a fucking table and everybody, like, everyone wants to fuck Swayze at
like,
this
literally,
moment.
He like, smashes a dude's face and chicks are like, oh,
they're fucking dripping wet. Like, the four, you can hear the splashes. It's like, this dude's all fucked up.
And it's like, all they can do not to diddle like, their clits.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
every woman, like, is ready to keel over with excitement.
They're visibly dehydrating. They're, like, aging because they're just gushing fluids.
Yeah.
They're trying to jump on his face. and then, like, the blind band leader. Sorry, I can't remember his name. Is he
the Jeff Healy of the Jeff Healy band?
Yeah, so he's Jeff Healy.
Yeah.
So he gives him like a shout out. Ladies and gentlemen, the name's Dalton.
And that guy like will do like this weird kind of like country voice too, where he sounds like, do you remember those old Disney movies where they would just narrate like real animals like walking around like a little baby goat, and it would be like, now old man hunger was just nipping at his belly, you know, like that. They show like go, like that's what that guy's voice sounds like if you close your eyes. He's like, Dalton, you're in mixed up in some serious stuff here.
Wait, can we talk about him meeting Jeff Healey? He clearly knows him from the fucking whatever circuit they're both on, which is where they go to shitty bars and then help flip it, because the Jeff Healey band makes sense for a shitty bar. But it doesn't make sense if it were to eventually become like the other bar. Like if it becomes fancy and flashy, you won't have the guy playing the fucking steel pick guitar.
I heard that this movie was a template for the pitch for that show Bar Rescue.
Yeah, John Tappert's in this episode, or Taffert, whatever his name is. Yeah.
But you got people skimming from the bar. I sent my wife in. Everybody was grabbing at her titties. My wife.
When he goes to say hi to Jeff Healey, he's like, gives the shush to the other band members. He's gonna sneak up.
He does it to six different guys. He keeps telling everybody to shush. And they're like, they all fucking saw you the first time.
Right. Well, they didn't go, hey, Dalton's here, to the blind guy. They're like, no, we'll let him find out.
Fool my blind friend. Oh, now we got this weird fucking party that the bad guy throws, Brad Wesley, and fucking
just for his henchmen.
For his henchmen, like everybody's topless, and it's basically like, to clarify, like, okay, these are all the bad guys. It's all the guys that got fired from the bar.
Yeah, now they hang out with him.
And now then they all like hang out with Wesley. Cronies,
and like, it's like, it's clearly like they just didn't know what song was going to play, so they have no music playing. So everybody's just making a weird,
crazy dance. And then Swayze looks across. So the farm and Wesley's place are on either side of like a big river or lake.
Yeah.
And
not that big.
Yeah.
No, so you like they're 80 feet away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a pond.
They
it's
make like icons.
Yeah,
and he like, it's like a hazard on a golf course. And like he could very.
It's weird because like now he's like over the like kind of fantasizing like that looks pretty fun. I don't get, and he's like reading a Jim Harrison book to show like Legends how smart
he is. He's reading Legends of the Fall.
Yeah, and, like by the moonlight. Yeah, and then like. They're having this party, and then like the guy, like there's some giant, like 7 foot tall henchman that's like dancing really weird, and he's like, "I love this guy."
Yeah, I love this
guy. Ben Kazarian's like, "I love this guy."
And we have you love this guy, right? To look like because he's like trying to sell the girl. Yeah. He's trying to sell the girl on this big freak.
Fuck my freak friend.
Why?
Imagine
not
the
just...
cock on a beast like this.
Oh, you should see this motherfucker here. He'll split you in half, huh? You like him?
Oh, you should see the horse cock on this big guy.
You have a horse cock. It's my horse cock.
Dalton, it's me, the Jew. Fuck my giant friend.
Why not just show like maybe people in town aren't quite sure about this guy and like just show him having like a fun party? It's just weird that it's like only the bad guys and a couple of chicks. It's just like, it just seems sad. Like their existence seems sad. It's just like, it's the same six people at
now,
the party.
Now, a weird cut to him kind of like waking up hungover and like the girl who...
Also knows who he is.
Doesn't really flesh him out. The character. She just shows up with breakfast, and he gets out of bed all naked. You see his ass. She fucking can't keep her shit together.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's like the Joan Cusack allegory waitress person, right? She's such a Joan Cusack character.
And they like give her that weird scene where she's singing, but it's horribly dubbed. Like,
but she really is a singer. Like I looked her up. So supposedly
it sucks. I mean, it sucks. I don't know why they did it in so many '80s movies where they like acted like no. No one will fucking care.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it looks so absurd.
Yeah. It sucks dick, dude. Like your apartment.
Yeah, dude. It's not as sketchy as your fucking apartment. So she like looks at his glistening ass.
And she clearly wants to fucking toss his salad.
Yeah. And he puts on like a satin pink robe. If I remember right,
he puts his jeans on.
Yeah. He puts his jeans on.
No underwear.
He splits. And we have like, then we see Brad just doing fucking. Like going back and forth, driving, singing in this.
Life would be a dream.
Yeah, life would be a dream in his shitty, like 1988 Mustang.
Yeah,
he's like, this is the worst era of cars. Oh, and this movie really shows it.
Yeah.
He's got the 5.0 Mustang. Late, it's all boxy. Like it could be a Datsun. It's just like, what even
late
is that?
Late 80s cars just fucking suck.
And he's fucking driving down the middle of the road.
Yeah, you hey, hold on. Hold on. You hear us, Detroit? That's why you lost your fucking ass, because of those boxy Mustangs.
Right? Yeah, dude, yeah, I'm not bailing you out next time you come up
Detroit.
With a
Detroit. All right, Obama's out of office. He's not going to bail you out this time.
Yeah, your little buddy's out of office, so you're on your fucking own, all right?
Even though I know you didn't vote for him, but you went for Trump.
Yeah. Trump fuck? Won Michigan. This is another one of my favorite action movie tropes is how bad they make the bad guy.
Like, oh my God. And, he's like bad guys. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all such bad villains.
Careless like, and mean.
They're like Hanna-Barbera Laugh Olympics. Yeah. Yeah, level.
And their sizes are like cartoonish. Yeah. Like, it's like one guy is seven feet tall. One guy's four feet tall, fat. But weighs a bunch. The middle guy is just a gooberish looking dude. And when Ben Gazzara is dressing them down.
Yes.
He's such a villain.
He's so mean.
So this scene, he's just driving fucking eyes closed down the middle.
Yeah, just like swerving around. Yeah. Shaboom, shabitabing, ba-dang-a-dang-a-dang. Oh, life would be a dream. Yeah. And just then, like, whoa, just swerving around and like almost run Swayze off the road.
And the time's very weird of like the shit, like, daylight to night.
It looks like Swayze's driving to the bar at 10 a.m. Yeah. to start his shift, which is, I guess, 16 hours long.
Yeah. Or was he going to the auto body shop to get
something smashed, right?
Yeah, he had to get a new windshield.
Right.
So I think he's on his way to see Red at the...
And we learn our new fucking... Or like another business, local businessman. We don't meet Red yet, because doesn't he scope out the picture of Doc? At Red's
Sees her there, yeah, but and he talks to him, but he doesn't
because he hasn't met Doc yet.
Oh, he hasn't met Doc
yet. So this is when he gets stabbed at work.
Oh yeah, he gets stabbed because he's trying to get that guy's girl off the table.
Right.
That we were talking about that scalpel.
He gets stabbed by the cuck with a scalpel or something.
And this is also where he sees the bartender fucking stealing money.
Yeah.
Then he
fires John Doe.
Fires John Doe. And this is where we learn he brings his medical records around with him.
Right.
And like, he falls in love with Doc, who's like too hot for this town.
Too
like,
hot and too smart.
It and she's no a doctor. Sense. She's like the ultimate fantasy of like, just like completely perfect. Takes care of her elderly uncle that like raised her.
Yeah. She has the fucking Sally Jesse Raphael glasses that just work for me.
Yeah. She's kind of funny and tough on him. And,
yeah. She's like a ball buster.
She's nagging him.
She learns that he went to NYU and was a philosophy
says
major.
That, you know, because it says that in your medical chart, we're going to college and stuff for sure.
Philosophy.
It says your SAT scores were 1600. That's interesting.
Man's search for faith and that sort of shit. It was such a well-written line. I really appreciated that line, because I do feel like whenever you try to say something serious like that, like, it did make me like the character, because I talk that way. Yeah. Or if you ever want to say something that's like kind of sound smart, you add like anything like shit like that.
You end that sentence with "I don't know."
That's fucking bullshit.
It's kind of like a humble brag.
Yeah.
You gotta soften the edge on it a little bit.
Search for faith and all that shit.
So then he goes to the mechanic.
Yeah, that's also the I'll give you a local, and he says I'll pass, and she's like, you can handle the pain, and he's like, pain don't hurt.
Yeah,
pain don't hurt. Yeah,
that's a great fucking line.
Great line, iconic. So
this is where the monster truck shows up.
He goes here for the first time now, right?
Wait, no, this is where the bad guys get dressed down. The monster truck shows up and the goons all get out.
Right.
And they're like,
that was after John Doe. So he goes and talks to Red.
Right.
And then that night, they try to, and then also Red, we should point out, was Red from the fucking Memphis Mafia. One of Elvis's guys.
Right.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
One of fucking Elvis's handlers that like got drugs and shit for him and would like just pander to him when he's like, hey, I'm going to move the sun. And they'd be like, oh, look, Elvis is moving the sun with his mind.
You're the king, baby.
You're doing it, Elvis. Who's good in the movie? Right. Like, is great in it.
Oh, right. So he fired the bartender. Then the bartender's in the office.
With the short, fat goon and the fucking Cro-Magnon, but not the giant.
O'Connor.
Freak.
Yeah.
The middle size.
He's middle like
bald, balding guy.
Yeah. So then
Doc Brown.
So then Swayze goes up in there and the guy's in the middle of it. And he says, you know, they say like, you made a mistake. We're hiring him. And the guy is, it's great. Like John Doe does the, that's right. I'm back in and you're out, Dalton.
And then, why is he so wound up?
Yeah.
I think John Doe, maybe I'm wrong here. I think he plays the husband, in Boogie Nights. That, remember when they have the divorce proceedings with Amber Waves?
Oh, where she's the
Julianne Moore's character,
the loser mom.
Yeah, she, like, and they go to like divorce court to see who gets like custody. And I think he's the ex husband.
I don't remember. Oh shit!
It could be great. I do love all those scenes where she's like, you know, the daughter's trying to reach her, and it's like a porn party yeah. going on.
Yeah, I think, and then like what perfect casting of yeah. like the dude that's like. This fucking bitch is on drugs and fucking people. And he's like, clearly like also got, bag. Yeah.
I always like, dude, I always like think it's so funny. Like loser dad stuff where I'll do jokes where I'm like with my son, where it's like, Hey man, I heard you had a birthday. Oh, it was 2 weeks ago. Well, hey man, you know, you should be getting my gift. You know, I know I promised I'd be there this year, but I couldn't make it.
You know, and I'd get drunk and pass out. And like,
your dad fell asleep on the phone again. You know,
it's like so I fucking funny. Love you, man. Yeah. You're my little guy.
I mean, how old are you? 7, 8? 13. God damn. What the yeah. fuck happened to you?
Yeah, man? You're tiny.
Yeah. the fuck is Gary feeding you?
the
you still work at the bank? Gary still work at the bank? I got promoted, huh?
Oh, no, fuck him. Cool. Oh, shit.
He got benefits. Yeah. Oh, shit. So is his spot open? Yeah. Is his old job available? The owner of the Double Deuce in this moment is so happy that he has Dalton. It seems so funny.
So, yeah, again, he's got the maniacal yes. look on his face.
He's like lascivious looking.
Yeah, that's Dalton. Exactly. That's it.
He looks like I would cast that guy as the patron of a strip club.
Yeah.
Yes. Like someone who's like driving around looking for like hookers in Vegas.
Or yeah, kind of, yeah, as the dad who watches his daughter's friend swim in the pool.
Yeah.
Like, and they, you know,
pedophile. He has
that look on his face watching Dalton do everything.
Watching Dalton beat the fuck out of a guy who, for like, ostensibly may have been working at the Double Deuce for a decade.
Yeah, might have liked him and been bummed that he was stealing from
him. He kind of, you know, didn't want to fire him. Nah, right?
Throw him through a window, yeah, and it looks great.
Yeah, great fight.
The fight sequences are great. This is stuntman movie.
Yeah, they're just leaping off the balcony, going over the top together, which was really fun. And I will say, this is the first time we see it, and we'll see it I think 3 or 4 more times, where Patrick Swayze goes from dry feathered hair to drenched mullet in 5 seconds. Like, there's 3 separate sequences in the movie where all of a sudden he's just got his hair is down and it's completely Joan Jett and soaking wet. When he stands up, his shirt is drenched in blood and he's got fucking, his hair is soaked from 1 minute of struggle.
I mean, I don't know, you do like around, you know, boxing, it's like you get a sweat.
Yeah,
man.
You get a. I mean, no joke, but he does get it.
True.
He sweats, man.
He sweats. Dude.
His body don't hurt. Sweat does. So pain these guys hurt, get it's their just ass mad hot. In
these
here.
Guys get yeah, their so ass. They get their they ass. Go back yeah. to Wesley in a monster truck. They all get in together, and then he lines them up, and he's with his right hand man Jimmy, who like I think they insinuate is like maybe a little Native American because he's got like a fucking
Native American. He was like a fucking, what were they called, the wind talkers?
Yeah, because he's got a little
like a snake tooth or something.
Yeah, he's got an arrowhead.
I think he's like Puerto Rican. Yeah.
They don't know because he's the only non-white person for 100 miles around.
so he's like who wants to give me an apology?
The shit he's doing is like
tiny fat guy's like, I'm sorry, sir, and he's like, well, you mean it, O'Connor. I don't think you mean it. Then he kicks his ass.
I love the way that guy says, I am sorry. I'm sorry. Like he doubles down on it like 2 or 3 times and like the guy just doesn't buy it.
It's just a cartoonish bitch. It's just not good enough, O'Connor.
Should have let you go, Jimmy. Get this piece of shit coward out of here.
And he fucking eventually knocks him out with one punch. Like he kind of like loosens him up a little bit, and then fucking the old man just knocks him down with one punch.
So fucking badass.
And we also learn at the auto body shop that like more about that he is basically the mafia of this town. He's like taking racketeering, like extortion. Yeah.
Well, it's like some kind of like it's organized crime. And he says, of course, it's all legal on the up and up. It's some kind of 10% improvement tax or something that he's putting on there. All the businesses have to do it. It's vague. Yeah. But yeah, they're basically trapped into this, and he's using, you know, the threat of like physical harm against them. And like, he kind of owns the police
sheriff at least or something like that.
Then we get a great scene where we're introduced to Wade, where Swayze is at the laundromat, kind of freaked out, I think, from the fight.
Yeah, he's rattled.
Doesn't realize how like big this thing is, calls up Wade, who's at like a place that has wet G-string contests,
which is like an insane contest
with like the cartoonishly fakest tits ever. It's like it's full 80s bolt-on fake breasts.
Let's take a moment to talk about fucking Sam Elliott, dude.
Oh my god,
what a goddamn dream he is.
Yes,
he is so hunky in such a specific way, I cannot explain it. He's like, he looks like he's either 25 or 65 in this movie.
Yeah.
He has that fucking long hair that he's constantly doing that.
He's got a limp that kind of comes and goes.
Yeah.
Right.
But
they like set up that his knee might hurt, and then we see it like briefly in the fight sequence.
Place has a sign over the urinal that says, please don't eat the big white mint.
Hey, Mijo. Mijo calls him Mijo. Mijo. Yeah.
Which later, is Mijo. Spanish for my son.
My son, yeah.
How about idea. I call him Mijo?
What's that, Sam?
Who cares?
All right.
How much longer are we doing this? There's this shot of him like going up the ladder, and like he does one step with like the straight fucked up leg, and then you can like,
and then just see him.
You just see him be like, "Fuck this!" Yeah. Not for this movie.
Yeah, he kind of like limps up, and then like you think maybe he thinks he's out of frame, and then like he like climbs up like Fred Astaire, like daintily climbs up the ladder.
Just to jump back to the setup of him is really good. He's like, I need the best. And he goes, then get Wade Garrett.
Yeah.
And he goes, so we're setting up.
He's old.
Yeah. Dalton.
Well, he's still the best.
Yeah.
Dalton learned how to be a bouncer from him.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's still the best. He's still the best.
Hey, I know you won't fight the commies, but I don't remember what he says. Like to the guys like trying to touch one of the girls, and then all the army guys, in uniform. Then they all like shoot each other with fucking squirt guns that look like real machine guns.
Was this during the Cold War? Is that why he's talking about commies and stuff?
Yeah, 80s. This is 88. This is the height.
It's 80s. Like, who are they fighting? Where are they? Where are they off duty from?
Granada or something?
Remember that spot in Memphis? So what's happening back in the town at this point? He's at the laundromat washing his shirt.
Yeah, so he's
washing the blood out of one of his shirts.
He's kind of realized at this point that like how deep this organized crime component is, and that it can actually affect
him. This is when we first see the brand new Double Deuce.
Like
shit's cleaned up, guys have shirts now, his team's assembled. He's got his own fat buddy, and this is a great scene because like the fucking henchmen show back up, the bad guys come back, and then Swayze's on it, and he's like, rat boot. And the guy's like, got it.
I remember loving this as a kid, too, and like wanting to be like, man, I
blade boot.
Yeah, or just wanting to be like so aware that I would notice things like that. Yeah. So it's like, oh, man.
And this is fucking cool, man. Like the guy brings up the knife boot, and Swayze fucking grabs it with his cat-like dancer ability, pushes the guy outside, and then they just fucking have a good, the whole bar comes outside to watch him get his ass kicked, including the doctor who shows up.
Yeah. Right. She's like, Stan, because did they have their date yet? Did they have like their first kind of encounter where?
No, they haven't. She says like, come by the bar and you know, we'll,
This is it.
This is where they even go to the diner where he like pays for the drunk dude to just sleep at the counter.
Yeah. Right.
Here's tonight's rent.
Yeah. He saves the cat, as it were.
Yes. He is as good as Ben Gazzara is evil.
Yeah, totally.
So they go outside and Dalton sets all this stuff up that it's like, look, we got to be cool, be nice. The second they're outside, though, he's like doing spinning kicks to the guy's head and like beating it. No matter how big a mother sucker is, you hit him in the knees.
Everybody's like just getting their knees cracked in this movie.
A lot of knee cracking.
He's just kicking everybody's ass. Love that we see some of the other bouncers have some fun. The big dude gets to launch some people around.
Yeah. I think that's where this movie really soars is in the bouncing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the weird action movie turn that it takes for sure. But
yeah,
I feel but like
does when, it, yeah, you the bar fights are the fucking meat.
That, those stakes feel fake. Yeah. The bar fight stakes feel real.
Kind of, yeah, and it's kind of neat to see him. It's satisfying to see him turn it around, and the club's starting to look nice, and the guys are learning and stuff.
It could have been like, a smaller movie.
Oh yeah.
You were saying that you would really like to like. They should have had montages of where you see the books and you see how like the liquor licenses are coming through.
Yeah,
and
stuff. I like all the nuts and bolts of it.
To like his liquor provider.
I want to watch him like, sand and revarnish the
place. Yeah, or you know, and if like if they're you know they're getting special event insurance for like nights or they have like big events going on and like what the you know like what the
why don't they get like a cheap app that they can just you know turn into a profit making machine?
Yeah, you just take the five themes of geography. They've got to create movement to the actual location. You know, so it's just stuff like that. I just personally would have liked to see that, but you know,
I don't understand if this bar is getting so much better. Why the Jeff Healey band still plays there? They're like the most honky tonk like trashy bar kind of band. They're playing. They're okay with playing at a place where people throw bottles at blind people, but they're also worth having at like a fucking high end spot.
No, I think maybe that the guy hired them too.
They're like part of the draw.
Well, is part, that what you? Now he's part of his. Now he's part of Dalton's team too.
Well, yeah. What I imagined was that.
Oh, he brought him in. Yeah, like, right
they were there. They were there like 4 days before Dalton.
Yeah, like the creep guy was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go hire a hot band. I'm gonna get the best cooler in the business, turn this place around."
This is a great cut where. Just Dalton's just spacing out, sleeping on the hood of his car, and then the bad guys show up and like, "We've been looking for you everywhere."
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, I'm napping.
I'm napping where I live on my car."
I've been looking for you everywhere. We decided to finally check your house.
Yeah, in a designer suit with eel skin boots on.
Wesley, Mr. Wesley wants to see fucking Dalton. Of course, these guys got to finally square off. There's a really funny exchange where he sees a photo of an old man and he's like,
"What the fuck
that's
was
my
this?
Grandfather." It's like, looks like an important man. He was an asshole.
That's it.
Okay.
End of that.
What was that an olive branch from Dalton? It's like, your grandpa seems important.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like his grandfather had money and that's why this Wesley guy has anything is that he just inherited it.
Or like the grandfather was a criminal or something. Some sort of like.
I'm just like you.
Yeah.
Built up from nothing.
The hot streets of Chicago.
I'm just like you. I'm from the streets of Chicago, and you went to one of the most expensive colleges in the world.
You got an esoteric degree from a private university.
But we're both the same. I was a Chicago street gangster. You lived on fucking Astor Place.
So he, of course, rejects him.
Yeah, and then you see like some domestic abuse.
You see like the fucking main their bimbo like all beat up doing like aerobics of like I can't listen to this shit, there's no heart.
The bad guy is so bad that he beats his wife and also yells at her in front of Dalton. Yeah. Turn it down.
Jimmy beat her up like because he brought her out of the last week. She straight up went to Dalton and was like, how about we go fuck? Like just really blatantly. Fuck.
Has she danced with the band yet at this point?
No. That's coming up. He brings her out and like fucking shows her off. Dalton leaves this meeting and then they go out and then they fuck against his wall and that turns into
it's a very weird sex scene. Yeah, it's like is he inside her when they're up against the wall?
Yeah, I think like, fucking
It's like she shows him like ripping his little fly down and shit.
And then I think based on their
heights, he's fucking her knee while they're standing.
Yeah, it doesn't measure up, but like he pulls her skirt up, and then I think he was supposed to get in there and fuck her against the wall.
And then she's like up against those jagged rocks up against the wall, and he's like really like jamming her into the wall. And then like he just like, it's like a really well lit room, and then he just like staggers around carrying her, like still with his dick still in her while they're standing up. Oh,
that's the best move.
Though. Yeah, doing the weird.
Like, I go no hands and just walk around with her using just my tensile strength of my penis to hold her up.
And then he does a kind of like, a couple of like thrusts, like while he's just standing with her away from the wall, like and then like
it's I got caught fucking against the wall once in public.
What?
Yeah, it was super fucking embarrassing.
Your sweet 16.
It was my sweet 16. Like, it was her sweet 16.
I was one of the dancers at my sweet 16. Up against the wall. Your parents are like, what the fuck?
What dude has sweet 16s?
The kind that fucks a dancer.
How'd you get caught? I was just like starting to date this girl, and like we were like all fucked up, and we went back to my building, and like I don't know what was going on. We just started like fooling around in the like the hallway of my building.
Lower East Side or Brooklyn?
Lower East Side.
Okay. That's because that's gross.
Yeah, it was fucking gross. It was gross. It was truly like a gross.
You had to like
building.
Go into a basement hallway to get here all the
time. I mean, that's probably like part of the reason why I was like, let's just do this here. My place is so fucking disgusting.
My place is as gross as this hallway.
Yeah. So then I go, we go our separate ways. And then I'm like, all right, the perfect crime. And then I go downstairs to my shithole apartment, watching TV, and then like a couple minutes later, my roommate comes in. He's like, man, I've been waiting outside. Two guys stopped me, and they were like, don't go in there. Some guy's fucking in the hallway.
and you're like, what a sleaze bag.
I was like, oh yeah, oh sorry, that sucks that you had to wait. I'm gonna go to bed.
I must have missed him. I got home right before he started fucking, I'm guessing.
That's fucking amazing. I used to like
my roommate Gavin Spieler.
I was just about to say, was that Gavin?
I like this girl I used to run around with in high school. Like I used to fuck her like in my room while my parents were there, and like I kind of like had to have my door open. And so like there was like a hallway down where my, you know, to where my parents were in their room, and like I would just say like I'd just fuck her doggy and had her look around the corner, and like if she ever saw like my dad coming down, we'd have to like jump up and like put our pants back up and like, oh, let's look at this.
I fuck her dog, your dad leans out, locks eyes with her, and just winks. She's like, oh, climaxes as your dad locks eyes with her.
Dude, I was always wishing that would happen. It never did.
Dude, it never does, man. You know, there's something every kid dreams of happening.
I'm so jealous of Stanger's fuck parade high school experience. Holy shit. Well, meanwhile, I was like, fucking jerking my dick off.
I mean, I'm very quickly running through them. There wasn't much beyond
that's the other one,
pretty much, you know. Yeah,
I had to break into my girlfriend at the time's house and steal used condoms off of her coffee tables because her mom was going to come home from work. We fucked at her house on our lunch break from school, like at fourth period. We went to her house and had sex, and we just left full condoms full of cum on the fucking coffee table, and she's like, you gotta go get those. And so I had like sixth or seventh period off later on, so I made Sanford drive me to the house. I couldn't get she's like, the window should be open. The window wasn't open. The glass window open, but the screen was locked. I kick the screen out, climb in, grab a fucking wad of cummy condoms and tissues, and get in Sanford's car, and I'm like, drive, drive, drive. And we drive like halfway back to school. He's like, are you still holding them? And I look down, and I had them like squeezed in my hand, and I was like, oh, like roll down the window and just throw them out.
You could tell because you were so used to the smell of chlorine from fucking swimming.
I was a swimmer and I came every day, so I had no idea what the smell was.
We get a good post fucking barn rooftop conversation
that her uncle watches.
Yeah, that her uncle and Brad, like, everyone's like everybody watching. In town is no, watching
her
this.
Uncle doesn't watch your it. Uncle,
the farmer yeah. And
oh, I'm sorry. Ben Gazzara. That's what I meant. Yeah, that's not her uncle.
Yeah. No, he also is obsessed with
I mean, there's a right. good there's a good chance Red was there somewhere. Yeah,
I think Red probably saw it.
I think if you zoomed out like another 10 feet, you'd see that all of these establishments are just on opposite sides of the lake. They're all around one lake. Like the Double Deuce is right next to the used car lot
probably.
Or whatever.
That's weird. There are cold butts out there in the cold weather, and like Swayze's little butts on the roof. I guess they had like a rug down or something.
Though. Yeah, they had like a fucking Native American blanket down or right. some shit.
They put down a poncho, a Baja.
And he just like lays back like snake out, you know, just like his fucking.
Laying dong back. In the wind, just fucking just chilling.
Out. Now we go to. So Dalton apparently has some. Like liquor hookup that he gets to come to the Double Deuce.
Oh, because
to work around Wesley's blockade, right. Since like he's not
letting
starting
to squeeze
booze.
The Double Deuce because they're not adhering to what he wants.
They're not hiring his fucking doofus nephew.
Yeah, yeah.
Great John Doe.
Great scene. Great scene when they lay the show don't tell of like any story. Yeah, we're running out of whiskey, and then the owner's just like. It's like, that's how we set up that they're getting squeezed on the liquor is like a random, that's the only David's scene, or David Craig.
Or Keith David.
Yeah, he just.
Larry David Craig.
He just like. He just happens to hear that, you know, and fortunately he has a hookup, you know.
I know a guy.
I mean, it makes sense that he would know some liquor vendor.
And, like, he knows him by name, of course.
He's like, because, like,
the thugs show up, like, to stop the delivery, and he's like, Chris, take a break.
Yeah.
But it's weird that he goes out there, like, they...
Just by himself?
Yeah, he goes by himself. There's 11 bouncers hanging at a close... The bar's not open yet, so it's just bouncers chilling just inside.
But luckily, our boy Wade shows up.
Yeah.
And Wade fucking kicks ass...
Great scene.
It's a great scene. I'm sure it looked better on the page than how it looks in the actual movie. Because he lets him really get beat up for a long time.
It makes no sense how long he's getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, and then he's like, and then he like walks out there like while he's just getting fucking pummeled in the face, and he's like, looks like you're having a little trouble. Or
you know, it's like, a bottle broken over his head, and then what they cut to inside, and maybe 3 minutes pass.
It's like way too long.
And then when they come back, they're holding his arms, and they're just, one guy is just punching him in the stomach.
And yeah, he's like hamburger meat by then, you know.
And he's like really fucking cool. Wade is just too like relaxed while the guy's getting his ass fucking totally
dead. It's like Wade's like just about to melt, you know. He always looks like he's about to melt, you know.
It's
he's
pretty
too
cool.
Chill.
He's too chill, but I love it. They're establishing that like they've been through this before, right? Like, because Dalton even says when Wade comes he's like, I had him right where I wanted him. Just making
it. I like all that. And like, I knew what they were trying to do, but there was something about the stage picture of it where I was like, this is just too much.
And they broke too many bottles, too.
I was worried about their booze.
Me, too. I was like, too worried about their. I was like, come on, they're getting all the fucking booze.
Yeah, the place is packed every night. That's they're going to fucking burn.
So then Wade, Doc, and Dalton all go out because he's like in love with Doc, as one would be.
Yeah.
And they all go out to get fucked up and introduce Wade to her, who like shows his pubes like almost immediately to show a scar.
Yeah.
Just fucking great choice.
I have some friends like that are just like, want to be. Oh, you're that one. Oh, it's you.
What? Show your pubes off like right away?
I got a scar. It's right here, sweetheart. It's right up here on the inside of my thigh.
See, it's when I got fucking circumcised.
Yeah.
Take a look. Scar. It's just your foreskin.
Take a look at that, amigo.
Yeah, no more foreskin there.
Enjoy, mijo.
Hey, mijo, take a look at that, amigo. And then he like dances with her, and like, you know, he just he wants to fuck her unabashed.
Wants to fuck her.
Yeah.
That gal has entirely too many brains for an ass like that.
Yeah, he like sideways watches her ass. And,
and then we learn about like, because fucking, and of course, he's famous for having... killed a man in Memphis,
right?
And like everyone knows, and it was self-defense, but it seems a little suspect. And now Wade really lets everybody know that, like, you know, he fucked some guy's wife.
Yeah,
and then he came and she didn't tell him that he was married. And then we I'm just realizing how long this fucking podcast has been going on.
We're almost at the movie's at 89 minutes and we're at the second act at minute 75. But let's keep going. It's fine.
So Wade's just like, well, when a man sticks a gun in your face, you got two choices: die or kill the motherfucker.
And then
Doc comes back and they're like, fucking,
and he's clearly upset.
Yeah.
And,
like, yeah. It's also like weird that like he wouldn't have killed somebody in like a bouncing situation. It's funny that it's like a weird act of infidelity.
But the gun was to Wade's head, right?
No.
It was to Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. She didn't tell you she was married. Yeah.
So he fucks this guy's wife and then kills him.
You fucked.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah. He's a bad guy.
He is fucked bad the guy. Dude's wife and then killed him.
You fucked this whole town up. I mean, like, Dizarro was kind of a sleazeball, but like, it's like definitely they overcompensated. So this is when it flips to an action movie.
Yes.
Because now the auto body place shows up, blows up. Everybody goes running outside. We go back into the Double Deuce, like, once the fucking fires calm down, and you realize Red's fine, which, like, they should have just killed Red off.
Yeah, why doesn't he die?
They should have upped the stakes for Dalton to be fucking mad.
That would have been the perfect guy to kill then, because then nobody's safe.
Yeah. And it's also Doc's uncle. But instead, we go back into the Double Deuce and fucking, like, the whole bad crew is in there. This is when he makes his fucking, his girlfriend go up and do a strip tease.
It's great. She's good.
She's really, she's a little hot,
show.
Dude.
Yeah. And then Jimmy does the fucking next show with the fucking pool cues where he just starts kicking fucking ass. He's awesome. Yeah. Like this scene is dope when he just kicks the whole fucking bouncing staff.
Yeah. He's so like good. Having a great time. It's like, it's fun for him.
It's crazy that Dalton lets his guys go up to
him. Yeah. He nods. Like they look at him and he's like, yeah, go ahead. And like, I think he's just like sizing the guy up.
He's also mixing it up with like some lower level henchmen.
Yeah. And I think he wants his guys to be confident.
And then Wade goes in there and he starts getting his ass kicked. And that's when he steps in.
Yeah.
And like, and of course, fucking Wesley knows that Dalton is too good, and so he fucking shoots his gun into the roof. Like, just shoots his gun and puts his gun off in the ceiling. And is like, I've had enough. We got to get out of here.
Do you think that Dalton missed an opportunity not sleeping with the guys with the blonde?
Yeah, he should have just thrown it to her. He's and then killed Ben.
That's his fucking MO.
MO, man.
I fuck a woman, set her uncle's place of work on fire, and blame it on the local land baron.
This is when the town kind of like comes together.
We're like 5 minutes away from a montage of all of them rebuilding a used car lot. You can do it together, like spray paint.
You scared him last night, Dalton. No, I didn't.
Yeah, that was so weird. He's just like, I thought that was going to be like an important
driving
thing.
Doc's Jeep for some reason. Isn't that fucking weird?
Yeah, it's misogyny. Like,
no, I'm driving.
I don't never let no lady drive. I'm from New York. I don't know.
And then this is where we get fucking Chekhov's monster truck.
Yes,
we get the truck driving through like the fucking this is like
the only other business we've seen.
He finds out all the businessmen are like deciding to stop paying him.
So they're all unionizing and they're not going to pay this 10% tax anymore. So he has his monster truck drive through the Ford showroom, which is all like old cars.
And it looks great. It's amazing. Angle.
Yeah, it's a real.
Scene is fucking
they
awesome.
Really monster truck these cars.
It's a fucking
just
true
like
monster truck.
Red's thing really does blow up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's the shit we always talk about. It's so good. The monster truck shit is so awesome. It drives through glass over trucks, and that's the real Bigfoot.
Yeah. A friend of mine who was directing this movie was trying to get Bigfoot in a movie, and there's all these weird rules now, like you can't have alcohol in the movie, you can't, you know, and like Bigfoot has to be like a Jesus good guy. Or they have like they're trying to protect their brand for young people or something.
But if you want a bad truck,
Grave Digger will do
Robosaurus.
We're both making the same. You said Truckosaurus. I did Grave Digger. Sunday.
I want the monster truck to 69 with an underage girl. So
sorry,
whoever you can.
Sorry, right,
so now
can't
they blow up Emmett's place. The fucking farm hand.
Oh, yeah, Sunshine's place.
Yeah, Sunshine's place. They blow that up, and he's also fine. They, like, go in and get him out, and he, like, makes a joke about, get off me.
Right.
You fucking queer. And then fucking Jimmy, the main henchman, fucking
is still there?
Is there laughing. Like, he fucking pulls off, and fucking Swayze runs after the motorcycle and does a ballet leap.
It's spectacular.
Does the dirty dancing leap, but instead of making the catch, he's doing the jump.
And he fucking takes him out, and then they have an awesome fight that, like, right by the fucking river, and Jimmy's like, I used to fuck guys like you in prison. That's
the best line in the whole movie. Yeah. I used to fuck guys like you in prison. That's such a badass line.
And so, like, then he has this weird line where he's like, I guess I'll kill you the old-fashioned way, because he's getting his ass handed to him. And he finally pulls out a gun.
He pulls
the whole time?
Yeah,
he has a way more new-fashioned than fist fighting.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a derringer, like, strapped to his ankle.
So Dalton finally, like, traps his leg in, like, a tree, so he finally gets the best of him, pulls out a gun, and Dalton rips his fucking throat out.
And shows it. They show it. It's fucking great.
And just, like,
great.
Pushes him into the water, and Doc comes running down to, like, try to help him.
Yeah, she witnesses it.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out. Like, even if we never were really the same after that, because it would just be, because it would just like solve like whether or not I know where to park at Disneyland and stuff. It'd just be like, you know, it's like,
I ripped the fucking guy's throat out. I think I know how to hang a poster.
Yeah.
Like, you're always using it in arguments.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're going to fucking squabble about this. I mean, you saw me fucking rip that weird Puerto Rican guy's throat out. Remember that shit?
Jimmy, the martial artist, the Puerto Rican martial artist from prison who used to be gay.
Just in prison, man.
When he's laughing,
you take out the garbage.
When he's laughing on that motorcycle, it's like, if I were like doing that laugh in a sketch cram show, I'd feel like, oh, this is too much.
Dude, that's like, it's like Cobra level.
Yeah.
It's crazy maniacal. That he's still there, because the place blows up. They rescue the old guy, to hang out for a couple minutes, then Jimmy buzzes away. I think
he's baiting him. He's baiting him. Yeah. He wants to have the showdown.
So
it would have made also way more sense if Wade was already dead. Why he like has gone to Wade was totally right when he's like, why don't you just get out of town?
Yeah. And then
let's get out of town. This sucks.
Yeah. And this seems legitimately dangerous. You're a bouncer.
Yeah. And then even Doc's like, what are you even doing here? Like, the whole town's, who's going to save the town from you? You're like, you're fucking everything up. Yeah. You should have bailed a long time ago.
And he like fucking just goes back to the bar, and he gets a call from, fucking Wesley, that's like, you know, I'm gonna either kill Doc or Wade, and like, pick one or I'll do heads or tails, even though they like never say like whose heads.
Yeah,
whose
we don't
tails.
Know what the so terms it
doesn't
are
make
or anything.
Fucking any sense. And like, Wade shows up all fucked up, and
but Wesley, to his credit, does go through the act of flipping the coin and looking
actually,
at it.
It wasn't just him saying it; he actually does it.
He actually does it and has a moment of realization, looking at the coin, like, "I've made my
I'm shooting Wade."
Yeah.
And this is more like the music's different.
Yeah,
the sound effects are like way more intense, and then. So Wade shows up all fucked up. He's like, they told me I'm lucky. This is like, they're fucking with him, I guess. So then he rushes to Doc, who is fine and wants nothing to do with him because she saw him rip a guy's fucking throat out and she's afraid of him and he knows he's a murderer.
He's now killed two people, one of which who he fucked that guy's wife first.
So then he goes back to the bar and he's like, hey, senor, I told you only to have one beer. And he's fucking dead. He pulls the knife out.
Yeah, like Sam Elliott's like, I'm dead, mijo. And then, it's weird.
There's un cuchillo in my chest.
I'm dead.
Please remove that cuchillo from my chest there.
It's all mijo. Right, Dalton. I'll see you on Day of the Dead. The Mexican Halloween of sorts.
Remember Memphis?
It's more in
Mexican.
Yeah. We appropriated those costumes on Instagram. Don't draw a skull on your face on Instagram. It's insensitive.
Or at least know the meaning behind it. Don't just make it a cool
Las
looking
Dias
skull.
De Muerte, brother.
All right, it's about respecting your dead relatives. It's not about looking cool for your girlfriends.
By the way, mijo, did you get that Rosetta Stone I sent you? It's been great. I'm able to talk to all the Puerto Ricans, including that Jimmy fella.
Mijo, I fucked up and put your email down for Duolingo. So, might be getting my reminders that it's time for me to put in my 10 minutes.
Yeah, I must not be getting it, mijo, because the only word I know currently is mijo.
Mijo is Wade again. Thanks for clearing out your voicemail. Because I was calling and I wasn't able to leave a message.
But I cleared it up. I switched the email back to my email.
I switched it to mine, so I'm good.
Wade Garrett at optonline.net.
Oh, God. Do you have a good tech guy?
Una tech gringo?
Hey, mijo, you ever heard of unrollme.com?
So, like us,
the movie was going over time, so they just edit out him killing three guys.
Right.
Like, yeah. It turns into almost like a slasher movie towards the end, where you're just seeing fucking dead bodies, and he fucking finally stabs, like, one of the big doofus guys with the knife that... Oh, no, shit. Oh, he fucking...
He just totals his Mercedes.
He totals his Mercedes.
Yeah, he's got...
stabs the knife...
Into the fucking accelerator. Great move.
And this shit looks awesome, of the fucking Mercedes just blowing through fences.
Barreling.
Yeah.
It's going 70. It's going faster than the bus in speed is going.
How the fuck you would do this with fucking... like, knifing the accelerator down?
He's like pinned it to the floor, is what you're supposed to assume?
Yeah, and then, like, I guess you roll out... while it's moving, but they like try to shoot the car to stop
leap
it.
Leap out of the way at the end. They go in there. Son of a bitch, he's not in there.
Puts the knife back in his. So okay, this dude killed Wade.
Right. But, oh yeah, you see him put it in his waistband.
Then we go inside to Wesley's fucking big mansion, and like a bunch of guys are dead. Then he like takes the knife out of this guy's harness, stabs the dude with it.
It's a completely different movie at this point. We've got an orchestral score now,
and he's no longer being nice.
No longer a bouncer or being nice. There's nothing.
It's revenge.
It's pure righteous vengeance.
And he takes the knife out of the
brightly
dude's
lit,
gut.
Yes. Which is weird.
It's weird that it's daylight.
Yeah,
it's definitely like they didn't have the budget to do it at night. It definitely, they should have done it at night.
Well, I'm sure Swayze's just like, I ain't doing a night shoot.
It's like, exactly like Hard to Kill. It's like chasing a rich guy around his mansion to eventually
get him. Also, same writer is Out for Justice.
Same writer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
yeah, we're weirdly doing back-to-back movies of that guy.
That guy. You should look up that guy's resume and do a few more.
There's not much.
There's not much. Yeah. And maybe one more decent action one, I think.
Yeah, but like he definitely has... a fucking poppy style, a lot, and like R-rated style that I like.
Love. Yeah, that's what we love.
So he takes the knife out of this guy's gut, then fucking throws it up at fucking John Doe.
Yeah,
who like he gets it bad. I think he tried shooting him with a shotgun. That missed.
Right. And then the heavy guy gets crushed by the polar bear.
There's an Abbott and Costello like, and then he's like,
they must have realized
make some bear joke of like
a bear fell on me at the end. He says
Before that, doesn't he say something like it's fitting like that like a bear fell on you?
Oh yeah, Swayze does. Yeah. He starts doing some one-liners.
Yeah, right. You know what's really weird is I feel like I figured out that short fat guy with the suspenders. They cast him early on in the process and were like, this dude on camera is hilarious. We cannot make him a tough. So then they get that freak giant and they just add him at the party scene.
Right.
And they're like, now the freak's the real, like the giant's the real badass. And then they're like, let's give this guy some slap dick ending so he can go, I'm sorry. And then he also gets to have the bear scene. Cause it feels like they were like, once it got him behind the lens, they were like, this guy is fucking silly looking.
It could be.
Like the Pringles guy.
Well, that and like, I wonder if
I think like a lot of like weird shit is coming out of you right now. Like, they got this guy and they were like, he's funny. He can't do this shit.
I'm revealing way too much.
So then they have him on camera and they're like, okay, we got to do something with this guy. They cast a giant. They got him at the party. He's the bad guy.
Giants are constantly stealing work from fat, funny weirdos.
Cut to wonderful, sympathetic guy. Let's give him a bear ending. That's memorable, and he gets his own thing.
I'm just a career I'm just dreaming about.
Then we have this great line from Wesley where he's like, see, you found my trophy room. Only thing it needs is your ass.
Your ass? I thought your head was coming. Yeah, no.
So great. Such a great twist.
You do a good Ben Gazzara, by the way. Your voice is fucking
on
point.
And then fucking Gazzara throws a spear at him like a fucking decathlete.
What a great edit. But I was also blown away by how good that spear throw was.
It fucking flies.
Like, I wanted to look at it again. Do they do a hard cut and then have a professional spear thrower?
They must launch it out of a fucking cannon or something.
It must be on a string.
Holy shit, it looks good.
It flies perfectly straight and fucking Dalton has to dodge it.
I mean, yeah, like a decathlon. I mean, it's fucking
it's like a javelin.
It's a javelin. Yeah. And then so like they fight for way too long because he's a little old man.
Yeah.
But, like
again, he shoots from that thing I talk about.
Yeah. He shoots
kill Jimmy already.
At the end. Like, and I guess it's the same thing we talked about in Out for Justice where it's like, I guess he's wounded now. So he's a little more fucked up.
Yeah.
Then all the townspeople come out of nowhere, shoot him many times.
They come with shotguns because it's a hick town. So everyone has a shotgun.
It wraps up very quickly. The police are right there, and it's like, you see anything? He's like, I didn't see anything. Did you see anything? I didn't see anything. The little guy's like, I was trapped under a bear. Everybody laughs. They just murdered a guy fucking 2 minutes earlier. Yeah. And they're all like,
this guy was integral in the death of Wade. Like, this fat guy is a problem. He's been a bad guy
in the whole movie. Not a good guy
at
all.
Like, this guy was under a bear. All right,
also,
get out of here.
There's a guy that got his throat ripped out floating around somewhere.
Yeah, he comes back in a second because they're fucking in that same spot. And then his body just comes floating by. I thought that was a weird choice.
And that's when Doc finally climaxes. Yeah. Oh, fuck! Locks eyes with Stanger's dad.
She's
getting fucked from behind. She sees the body float up. Jimmy winks. She comes. Credits.
Just so you guys know that we're not joking, they really do skinny dip and fuck in the water at the end of the movie.
Yeah, in the exact same spot.
In the same spot
where they threw
the corpse.
Where he drained out of the whole giant gaping hole in his
neck. All right, should we just skip to reviews?
Yeah, let's just get to reviews. Let's review it here.
Okay, we review classic action movies on this podcast, so we adhere to a classic rating system. Gabrus, on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, what would you rate the 1989 masterpiece Roadhouse on a scale of 1 to 5 stars?
Roadhouse, starring Patrick Swayze, Sam Elliott, and Ben Gazzara. I'm going to give Roadhouse, the film, 5 stars.
Wow.
Out of 5, yeah.
Okay.
5 stars.
Interesting. Rogers, I'll put the same question to you on a scale of 1 to 5 stars. Where do you have Roadhouse, 1989 classic Roadhouse?
The 89 classic Don't Roadhouse. All right. And 5 and 1 is the worst.
1 is worst. 5 is the best.
Okay. The classic movie Roadhouse. There's a lot to factor in because I did have some criticisms for it. So I'm going to give it 5 stars.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Stanger, throw it back to you.
Yeah. And again, guys, people listen, you guys know how brutal we are. We don't pull any punches. Sorry to be so fucking harsh.
I know this is a classic to a lot of people, but we have strong opinions.
Yeah. This is what we do now. Scale 1 to 5 stars, Roadhouse. I've got to put it at 5 stars.
Oh, all shit. Right. Okay, so that's an average of 5 stars.
Yeah. Okay. 5 stars.
So guys, thanks for listening to an episode about Roadhouse. If you have a friend who's a freak giant with a giant horse cock, please recommend Action Boys to him.
Please have him dance at a party and tell everybody, don't you love this guy with his big horse cock?
Yeah. If your friends don't have 20 bucks, but they got 5 bucks, I mean, we can't promise you any tits to kiss, but, you know.
We can get you 4 or 5 episodes a month of action film reviews.
Yeah. If you know a Puerto Rican that used to fuck guys like Patrick Swayze in prison, get him to fucking subscribe.
If you have an old cowboy in your neighborhood who calls you mijo, ask him to subscribe to the Patreon.
If you have a sexy doctor in your neighborhood that is willing to date a bouncer, give her my number.
Cause she'll maybe
give her my email. Yeah, maybe she'll stoop.
My email is wade.garrett@optonline.net.
I want all you right, for Mio. Myself.
All right, me.
Oh shit, we gotta get out of here.
Shit, oh shit, mijo. It's time to vamos.
Vamos, amigos. Everybody get in.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.